Hey everyone, it's Jonathan and welcome to my annual animation ranking. Every year, Katie Fabric and I watch as many animated films as we can and rank them all from worst to best. And we never watch exactly the same movies, so between us, there are a ton of films to talk about. This episode will be part one, going from the worst films of 2023 up to some of our favorites, but saving each of our top 10 lists for the next episode where we will be going through the best of the best of 2023. So for now, let's get started and dive right into some of the worst animated films we watched last year. So how many do you have on your list?
I have 21.
Okay. Well, I have 26.
Okay.
So I'll go through my first batch pretty quickly because they're all varying levels of bad or not that great. Oh,
no. I'm curious to see if I watched any of them. I will admit I didn't watch as many as I usually do.
I feel like there wasn't that many this year. Like, big theatrical, like, I guess there was a bunch and I tried to get to most of those.
Yeah,
but I feel like my list is shorter than normal. I don't remember how many I usually have, but I have several on mine that are just like TV specials because they were like shorter, less than an hour, like streaming specials, which covered a couple of those on the podcast. But
yeah,
I did watch a couple others, so they're on here too. So as far as like full-length theatrical animated films, I feel like I have less than I usually do.
Right? Yeah, for sure.
Well, I'll start out. I'll do my bottom six, and then you can do your first worst one.
Tell me about your garbage.
The absolute worst movie that I've seen so far from last year is a movie called Millennial Hunter.
Okay.
This was a Tubi original. You know, the streaming service Tubi?
Yeah.
I was looking up a different movie that I'd heard that they had, and I saw this one, and it looked interesting enough that I was like, I should watch that. It was only an hour and 10 minutes, so I was like, I can spare an hour and 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
It was terrible.
Oh, no.
It's an adult animated film.
Okay.
So it was very violent, very gory, but it's cartoony enough that it wasn't disturbing. It was just stupid. So stupid. It's about this guy who's, I think he's supposed to be like a boomer. His wife is killed by a TikTok prank.
Oh,
this
gosh.
Is so stupid.
It's that kind of millennial. Oh.
Yes. He makes it his mission in life to kill all millennials.
Ugh.
It is so dumb.
Because, you know, millennials are the one on TikTok, usually. That's so I don't want to say that's so funny because it really isn't, but
it's funny to describe, but it was not funny to watch.
Yeah.
It was just rolling my eyes the time. Like the animation is decent. It had a good voice cast. Chris Parnell was the main star.
Uh-huh.
But the script was so stupid. It felt like if it wasn't written by a quote unquote boomer, it was written by somebody trying to be that and be like, hey, I'm hip, I'm cool. Like, it was so stupid. But I didn't realize until after, but like there were jokes about avocado toast, which is like the dumbest cliche you can ever get.
Yeah.
And like the poster, I noticed afterwards, it's him glowering out with like avocados floating behind him. It's so dumb.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, oh my gosh.
I should have known with it being, I kind of knew going in it wasn't going to be that great, but I didn't expect how stupid it was.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it to get very high on my list, but I don't think I expected it to be at the absolute bottom. And I found out that Tubi actually has several animated films that they've made specifically. I only watched one other one, which is slightly higher on the list. But, I mean, in the next year, I'll probably go back and see if they've got anything new so that I can fill out the bottom of my list so that nothing mediocre ends up at the very bottom. Because I always hate when I have a list that I've ranked and the bottom of the list is just like, it was fine. So
yeah,
it is nice that I have actual bad movies at the bottom of the list.
Yeah, for sure.
The next one I have on my list is a movie that was, it probably is not as bad as I have it. I don't know. It was more disappointing than anything, but it was also dumb. a movie called Taz Quest for Burger. It was a
Oh
Looney
yeah.
Tunes movie.
Yeah.
I think I was just mostly disappointed with this because I was hoping for it to be like a Looney Tunes movie. Like,
Yeah.
because Looney Tunes, their direct-to-video stuff is hit and miss. Like, it's never amazing, but I thought it would be kind of amusing because they had the Tweety movie last time, and it wasn't great, but it was funny enough. It had enough amusement that it was towards the bottom of the list, but I didn't hate it. This I would never watch again. It was dumb. Taz wasn't even the main character. It was a little bandicoot named Quinn, whose dad is kidnapped because he's the best vegetarian burger maker, and all these dingoes want him to be their chef. So she goes to find Taz to help free her dad.
Okay.
Like, who thought of this plot?
I kind of like hearing that Taz isn't the main character. I don't want to say makes sense, but it's like he doesn't speak, so a lot of people will throw in a character who can talk.
Well, he does speak in this, but it's more
Oh.
just like rudimentary phrases. Like, he talks like Cookie Monster, kind of.
Oh, okay. Never mind then, I don't have an excuse.
No, he's not eloquent. He's just. I think it's been so long since I've seen it, but when I was a kid, there was a series called Tasmania with Taz and his family. I think he
Okay.
talked in that. And I think that I thought that this was going to be not necessarily a continuation of that, but in that same vein, but it really wasn't. And also, I didn't love the art style. It was just like sketchy and cheap looking.
Yeah.
And then my next one is the other Tubi original, a movie called, I don't know if I'm going to even pronounce this correctly, Pastacalypse, Pastacalypse.
Calypse. Yeah.
Pasta Apocalypse is the portmanteau of pasta and apocalypse.
Yeah.
It was also very stupid. It was slightly more entertaining than Millennial Hunter, so it got to be slightly higher on the list. I don't think I would ever watch this again, but it was, I want to say it was fine, but it wasn't really fine. I probably wouldn't watch this again. It was dumb. It had a good voice cast. Dana Snyder was the main villain. Jess Harnell was in it. It had a good voice cast, but the script could have used some work. And also, it was gory and gross. And I don't know. I felt like it could have been better, but also, it was about alien pasta attacking the world. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Then the next one is the movie Mummies.
Yes. I
This one
watched that one.
is on your list. Okay. This one was. We're starting to get into the realm of fine, I guess. Like, I would never watch this again. This script was bizarre. The premise is bizarre. It's about these mummies who, I guess, they live underground forever. And then this archaeologist steals something from them and they have to go to the surface to get it. But also, there's like a love story between these two mummies. And like,
Yeah.
the main princess mummy's father is forcing her to get married. It's like,
You mean Sean Bean?
you're all dead.
Yeah. It's like, no, definitely the entire like concept falls apart the minute you think about it.
It was dumb. It was better than the others that I've talked about, but it was still dumb.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't choose to watch it again. Then the next one I have is Trolls Band Together. This
Oh,
one was
okay.
extremely disappointing to me. I really liked the last Trolls movie, World Tour. I guess I expected this to be that good,
Yeah.
and it was not. Because, like, with the first Trolls movie, it was fine. I didn't love it, but it was fine, I guess. Trolls World Tour shocked me with how much I really liked that movie. The music was fun, the animation was fun, just everything about it was just fun. And then Trolls Band Together was meh.
Yeah.
I didn't even hate it for a reason that a lot of people hated it, because apparently, like, I knew that going in that there was like a whole thing with NSYNC, and like, I think it was being advertised as like there was an NSYNC reunion in this movie. So everyone just assumed from the way it was marketed that him, the main character Branch, played by Justin Timberlake, he's revealed to have been in a boy band in his younger days, actually when he was a baby. And I don't know that they ever said this, but everyone assumed that all of his brothers that were in the boy band were going to be the other members of NSYNC, and they weren't. But then NSYNC turns up at the end to do a song. And I know that a lot of people were furious about that. And I didn't care because I was never a huge NSYNC fan back in the day. So, I mean, it didn't bother me. I just thought that it was a dull movie and just not as good as the previous one.
No, I have that one low on my list too, and I was a little like, is it just because I never really watched any of the troll movies and I just don't really like them? Like, they're not for me, but like someone who liked at least the last troll movie, like you're saying it also was not good, so it just must not have been a very good one of the franchise.
I haven't seen any of the shows that they've made. I'm guessing, I'm just going to assume that the Trolls World Tour that I really liked is an outlier.
Maybe.
Then my number 21 is where I have Bad Guys, A Very Bad Holiday, which was fine. We already did a whole podcast, a mini podcast on it. So if people want our thoughts on that, they can go listen to that. But it was not as good as the movie. It was a very much a downgrade. And yeah, it was better than some of the ones that I've talked about here, but not that great.
It was all right. Like, I think it's like it does its job, and that's about it. Like, I'm curious because they announced that they're making a second one now, and I'm curious to see how that's going to play out.
I'm going to give more hope to a theatrical film than I will a TV special. Because the TV specials, well, for the most part, I don't think TV specials ever end up ranking that high anyway. They're usually just serviceable at best. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll still be looking forward to a sequel to The Bad Guys rather than a
Oh,
short special prequel. So, what do you have at the very bottom of your list?
So mine might be very, I don't want to say shocking if you know me, but I was heavily disappointed in this movie. My bottom movie of last year was Leo, and I don't know if like I don't know how where you're gonna rank this, but I do not like Adam Sandler. And I understand he's just not like, I just don't like his humor. And I was like, oh, I don't want to watch this movie. But then everyone was saying, oh, it's amazing. Oh, I cried over it. And I'm like, okay, I will give it a shot. And I was somehow disappointed, even though I don't like Adam Sandler. Like, I decided I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt. So I cleared my mind of my dislike for Adam Sandler and I went into the movie, and my goodness, did I find it horrible. And I understand people might not agree, but I probably, maybe a little unjustly, hate this movie.
It is much higher on my list. Not in my top 10, but it is much higher on my list.
I don't want to say I kind of predicted that, but I was like, you know, I feel like for me, it just did not strike well. And I just really found specific things that I had problems with more annoying. And it could just be because it was Adam Sandler.
It could
I
be, yeah.
just, yeah, I didn't like the voice he was doing.
I did like the voice he was doing.
See, I like Hotel Transylvania a lot. So it's not like Adam Sandler just instantly destroys a movie for me. Like, I like Hotel Transylvania. Hotel Transylvania 3 is amazing. It's one of my favorite. It's my favorite out of all of them, and I love that movie. It's really funny. But I didn't like his voice. I didn't really like anyone's voice. I remember I got like 10 minutes in, and I'm like, I want everyone to stop talking, please. I don't like your voices. I didn't like any of the jokes. None of them made me laugh. I don't know. It just nothing hit for me. I didn't like some of the messages that were said. I feel like some of them kind of were jokes, but they also didn't feel like jokes for kids, which this is a kid's movie, as
Yeah.
far as I know. It's not an adult animated movie.
It felt like an adult animated movie, but for kids.
And that was the thing. Like, I was like, that's fine if you have, like, I watch some things and I say, that feels more like a for adults, but kids, like, it's obviously, it's an anime movie and it's marketed towards kids, but it has a heavy adult theme to it that adults really take, like Puss in Boots slash Wish. I think that that movie, while it's marketed towards kids, it's kind of more made for adults. But this movie felt like it was made for kids because the whole premise is him going and telling kids life lessons. But I thought he was telling most of the kids terrible life lessons. I don't know. Like, I really didn't like the part where there's the one girl whose grandpa died and she starts crying and he tells her to stop it. And I think it was supposed to be a joke, or he was supposed to learn it was okay to cry by the end.
I think that was the point of it. He
Yeah, but
was to
I
learn
feel
that she
like it just,
wasn't in the wrong.
it just feel like they emphasize far more on the joke than they did
Oh,
on him learning the lesson.
they definitely did.
So I really didn't like that. I was like, why are you si like, I just was baffled that he's singing to her a song telling her big whoop. But I'm like, I guess this is supposed to be funny, but oh my gosh, like, can you, I don't know. Like, I was just imagine a kid watching this and being like, oh, I guess I should just get over myself. That's what this little lizard's telling me to do. I don't know. I didn't care for that. Like, I feel like to an extent, some of the lessons were fine, but they were worded weird. I understand he's supposed to be a flawed main character. I just felt like they emphasized more on the advice, like it's supposed to be good advice. Like the movie framed it like it was supposed to be good advice, even though it was also supposed to be a joke. And then at the end, they never really framed it as, oh, he was wrong in any sort of the way, really, except for that one line where he's like, you're right, crying does make it better. But that felt like a joke too. So I'm like, I'm so confused almost to what you're saying. I'm gonna give you the benefit of the doubt and say that Adam Sandler does not think telling kids to just suck it up is the right thing to do. I'm gonna assume that that's not what he does, but it just really gave it off. I don't know. Like, again, I can see that it does it for other people. It just really did not work for me, and I never want to watch it again. I don't want to think about it ever again. I just, it baffled me. I was like, everyone told me this was good. Why did you lie to me? For my personal opinion, but I'm glad people can find enjoyment in it. And, you know, I'm glad. I was like, you know, I feel like this is just, it's really just my personal opinion, and that Jonathan's gonna have it higher. But yeah, that's just, you know, I was like, you know what? I was like angrily writing out my thoughts. I was like, grr, I went and ranted to my siblings. I was like, ah, and they're like, okay, Katie, stop being so, okay, it's just a movie, calm down. But yeah, like, it just didn't work for me. So that is my least favorite movie that I watched.
I can see how it wouldn't work for some people. There was definitely a lot of humor in there that I feel like if it were in any other movie, I would have hated it. But there was something about this movie that I just liked, so it ended
Yeah.
up being okay.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I wouldn't have hated it as much. Maybe I was in a bad mood too. Like, just sometimes, you know, if you're already going to a movie and you don't think you're gonna like it, and then just it amplifies how much you like don't like it. But I will not say it's the worst movie I've ever seen. It's nowhere near that. I just would never watch it again.
That's fair. I'll talk about it a little more later.
Yeah, I want to hear an opinion of someone who likes it, because like you can read reviews online, but a lot of times they just say it's okay for kids, it's okay for kids, and I'm like, I need more substance than just it's okay for kids. Like,
It
I need to know
depends
why
on
you're
the
crying.
kid, especially for this movie.
Yeah.
For number 20, I've got a Ukrainian movie called Mavka the Forest Song.
Okay.
This is one that I've been hearing about for years, I think. I feel like it's been delayed, I don't know how many times. I think I had it listed to come out on a couple other lists in the past, at least. I was not holding out a ton of hope for this movie, and it was kind of what I thought it was going to be, but slightly better. Because, like, it had the general look of a lot of Russian animation that I've seen that is just lazy. Just like so generic, like they really
Yeah.
want to tell the story and they just do the bare minimum for the animation. And they did a better job with this than some of the others that I've seen. Like, this is obviously not Russian, this is Ukrainian. But it also was weird because it felt like they were making it for an American audience because, from what I could tell, the animation was made to match English words. So it wasn't like a dub, but it also still kind of felt like a dub because, like, the way people talked felt like they were trying to match the lip movement. Because you know how that is with some anime and other foreign animation where people are trying to speed up or slow down their words so they match the lip movement, even if it doesn't make much sense. It felt like that, even though the lip movement did match what they were saying.
I've seen movies like that.
But it was just kind of a generic, not like a, I haven't seen it in years, so I can't say for sure this was the, like, but it's, I think a lot of people would compare it to Fern Gully. Like, there's, it's about a forest spirit and she meets a human. Like, the movie was fine. The animation was fine. I liked the designs for a lot of it. Like, in some of the scenes where there was no people, it was like kind of beautiful. But then as soon as people came in, it just became kind of cringy and dumb.
I've definitely seen movies like that.
Yeah, this one was one that was fine. I probably could watch it again if somebody really wanted to, but I would not choose to watch this one again myself.
So for my 20, I have Trolls Band Together.
Okay.
And I was worried that you'd be like, "Oh no, why?" Because you like the last one so much, but I was like, "Oh, he's got it lower than me." So it just didn't do it for me. Got bored.
Yeah,
I was just
definitely.
kind of bored. There wasn't much plot. It was just okay. I didn't care much for the characters. It is funny though, because whenever I now I have a running joke with my sibling who watched it with me, and we'll hear NSYNC and we go, "Branch, is that you and your old past boy band?" But yeah, it felt very like, even though the NSYNC cameo wasn't in it, it felt very like Justin Timberlake was just like, "I remember when I was in a boy band. That was fun." And it's like, "I'm so cool." Like, are you okay? Good for you, man. It kind of felt like just, I don't know how much he gets like to tell the story himself, like how much he implements into the story, or if he just does voice work. But it almost felt like he had something to do with the story. And that's fine, but it kind of felt like a love letter to a thing that I've just never been into. And
Yeah, I could see
yeah,
that.
like I remember hearing some boy bands growing up, but my family were into boy bands. I never was into boy bands, so I like the animation though. It did pretty good.
The animation was fine. Like, it wasn't as stellar as the previous one, but it was still good. I like the colors of these movies. Like, they do a really good job making everything look fun. It's just the script doesn't match the level of fun.
Yeah, I like the rubber hose people. I don't know if they've ever been in troll movies before, but I liked
No, I
how
don't
they,
think so.
I liked how they moved like a rubber hose character. Like that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But they weren't interesting characters,
Yeah.
so they were
It just felt
okay.
like an amalgamation of interesting ideas that were not put together well, and the script wasn't great. And also, they threw in a bunch of puns and jokes about boy bands that I either didn't get or didn't care about.
Exactly. I'm like, it was serviceable. If I knew a kid who really liked it, I could watch it every so often with them, but I'd probably suggest a better movie.
Yeah. If I was going to watch a Trolls movie, I'd pick World Tour over this any day. For number 19, I've got another TV special, a streaming special, I suppose. Or maybe it was direct to video. I don't know. I watched it on Disney Plus. Lego Disney Princess, The Castle Quest. This is another one that was fine. I probably wouldn't choose to watch it again, but it was fine. A lot of it, similar to Trolls Band Together, it was kind of just a vehicle for in jokes. It was like Disney in jokes instead of boy band in jokes. Tons of Easter eggs, which is fine, but Easter eggs can only go so far. The story was just kind of boring. Like, Gaston has King Triton trapped in a fish tank, and I don't really know why these specific ones were chosen, but Ariel obviously to save her father, but also Snow White, Tiana, Rapunzel, and Moana. They have to defeat Gaston by going on these quests and collecting the. It felt like a video game rather than a movie, but you're just watching somebody else play.
I watch a lot of Lego specials, specifically their Star Wars ones, because I find those really funny. But they are very in joke. They're very childish. Like, they're kind of a hit or miss. Most of the time it's either they're kind of mediocre or they're fun. So yeah, I see what you're getting at there. And they do have a video game quality to them. Like, they really feel like a Lego video game when you like play that, except that you're just like watching a long cutscene and no one else, and you're like, when do I get to play? But there's no play time.
I feel like this probably could have made a fun video game. You could find all the Easter eggs yourself instead of just watching them happen on screen.
For sure. I think Lego excels at that kind of stuff. I love their video games. It's fun to see little Easter eggs. Like, I remember in their original Indiana Jones, there were rooms where you could find like C-3PO or Han Solo or something, because it's the joke that, George Lucas worked on both. So like they have fun Easter eggs and stuff. I think a thing about their adaptations one that's always fun to see how they're going to censor down specific scenes for kids, because those are always kind of funny. So it's like, oh, we can't kill anyone, so they have to like be chased off camera or something. But like, yeah, their specials and stuff though, they can sometimes be a hit or a miss.
This one's somewhere in between. I don't feel like this is fully a miss, but it wasn't funny enough that I would want to watch it again. I will say, though, it did have a good voice cast because I think they got back almost everyone that they could. Like, if the original voice actor for a character hadn't died, they were back. Like, even the wardrobe from Beauty and the Beast was back. Her original voice actress.
That's cool.
But, like, somebody like Iago, Gilbert Gottfried is dead, so they had somebody else doing his voice. But for everybody else, even Gaston, it was the original person who did them in the movie.
That's cool.
Yeah, which I wasn't expecting.
Yeah,
I
no,
figured they'd just
because,
find a voice match and be done with it, and they
yeah,
didn't.
because a lot of the Star Wars ones, they have voice matches or they have their favorites, like voice actors. So they have like Laura Bailey, Travis Willingham, and they'll kind of like cycle through them a lot, who also voice some of these characters in cartoons. So it makes sense, but that's interesting that they got all the original cast as much as they could.
I was surprised.
So my 19, I don't have a lot to say about it because we did talk about it a lot, but the bad guy is a very bad holiday. Yeah, like you said, it's kind of mediocre. It's fine. There's not much more for me to say about it than I haven't said before. It's a sweet little thing. It's not that it's not worth watching once if you really just want to turn it on, but it's not the best. Not the worst, not the best. Just kind of there. It exists. It's fine that it exists. I didn't need it to exist, but
It exists, so I'll watch it once, I guess.
yeah.
For number 18, I've got a movie called The Amazing Maurice, which is another one that was delayed a bunch of times. I think it was supposed to come out last year, at least before, and it finally came out this year. This is about a cat who has a bunch of smart rat friends, and it's kind of like a Pied Piper type story where he's like defrauding the townsfolk with this group of rats. But then it gets more interesting and more complicated as they go on, and there's some twists, and then there's like an actual Pied Piper who is weird and evil and creepy. It was pretty fun. We're starting to get into where, yeah, I'd watch it again. So it's kind of mediocre, but it was fun. I'd watch this again.
That's funny. I have it quite higher up on my list. I really liked it.
Yeah, it was good. I could see how some people would really like this movie. I thought it was just fine. I liked other things better, but it was enjoyable and I would watch this again. I especially like that David Tennant was one of the rats.
Yes, that was fun.
I think his name was Dangerous Beans.
Yes, it's brilliant.
Well, we can talk about it more later when we get to it on your list. So what do you have at 18?
18, I have a Lego special. It was Lego Avengers Code Red.
I was gonna watch that, but then I ran out of time and
Yeah.
didn't get to it.
It's fine. I've watched some Avenger ones before, and I would say this one's middle ground. I've seen some that were more boring. I've seen some that are better. I think honestly they peaked on one specific. Oh, it was like, I think the thing is they were short episodes. I'm trying to remember what that one was called now. But that one was so brilliant, and I don't think they're ever going to be able to do the same. Like, I just love that one. It's so quotable, it's so funny. I can't remember. But yeah, this one was all right. I don't think it was the best one. But, I think the thing I like about the Avengers one is that, again, it's got a lot of like those Easter egg jokes, but also they really just like decide to push the characters' personalities to be as far as they can. Like, Lego Thor is probably my favorite Thor. He's so funny to me because they really lean into that kind of like in the original movie Thor when he's just like drinking the coffee. He's like, "That's amazing. I want another." And he smashes it. Like, that's just basically personality in the Legos, where he'll be like, "Oh, it's time to fight, time to play. Can't touch this because this is my hammer's favorite song because it's sung by McHammer, Like, it's just like crazy weird stuff like that that I don't know why. It just makes me laugh. It's just kind of fun. You can see the Avengers kind of like hang out more than you get to see them in their movies. Like, they just get to like talk and have fun, and you're like, oh yeah, these guys are friends. They're not just always fighting with each other like a lot of the Avenger movies are now. So it's like fun to see them and do that. Usually the villains are very like cheesy, which is kind of fun. So I just have fun with them. They're just kind of fun. So yeah.
Well, for number 17, I didn't specify at the beginning what we've done it before, but at least on my list, I'm including live action hybrids and remakes.
Yeah.
So for number 17, I've got Disney's Peter Pan and Wendy,
Okay.
which I've did a whole podcast on it, so you can get more thoughts there. It was fine. I probably would watch it again. It had a few very standout scenes that I thought looked amazing. Ultimately, it was more of a disappointment though, because I expected more, because it was the same director as Pete's Dragon, the remake of Pete's Dragon, which was I thought was so good. And this was just fine. Didn't really love the backstory addition with Captain Hook, but it did have some really cool standout scenes, but they couldn't save the script and make it better. Overall, it was just fine.
Yeah. Is it as gray as it looks in the trailer? Like color grading wise?
Pretty much.
Okay.
That was one of Stanford's big things with it. It was like, Neverland is supposed to be colorful and fun. This wasn't. Yeah, it was a bit drab.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like Neverland.
Yeah, I feel like if, it's a place that kids want to go, they wouldn't want to go to Washington when it's raining.
Kinda, yeah. So what do you have for 17?
So on my 17, I have Mummies.
Okay.
Mummies was fine. The bizarreness made me laugh. I don't think I laugh so hard when they're doing the cliche. So slight spoilers for this story, but they're doing the cliche. Oh, they won't tell each other that they love them, and they're walking away from each other. And then Nickelback starts playing just out of the blue. And I just could not stop. I was crying because of how much I laughed because it was so bizarre. I'm like, why Nickelback? What is going on? Because, like, up to that point, the only other song that I'd played was Walk Like Egyptians, because, of course, they're going to play that song because it's, a white Egyptian movie. And then, like, I think the princess sang a song at the beginning. So when she first sang, I thought it was going to be a musical. And then she, like, sings again later. It's like half a musical and then half, like, the whole needle drops. It was so strange. But just Nickelback sent me. I don't know why. It was just so funny. I thought the crocodile was cute. I don't have much more to say besides that.
The crocodile was cute, I will give it that.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the baby crocodile from the Tinkerbell movie.
Yeah. I think we need more animated crocodile babies because I feel like they're just cute. Like
Yeah.
you can't really do them wrong.
They're cute in real life too. If you've ever seen like a baby
Yeah.
alligator or crocodile, they're very cute and they make the
They are
cutest
very
little
cute.
noises.
Yes. Yeah, they're very sweet. I think we need more of them. But yeah, I mean, I didn't find the characters annoying, which I kind of thought they were going to be, like kind of just obnoxious or annoying, and they were just fine. So, it was fun. If someone really wanted to watch it, I'd watch it again. I don't think I'd go and watch it again. I might rewatch the Nickelback scene. That makes me laugh. But
That scene just made me roll my eyes and shake my
I
head.
don't know. It's just so it's so I like to watch bad movies, and it just like perfectly nailed the head of what makes a bad movie good.
Yeah,
So like,
you can
yeah.
give it that.
Like just the bizarreness that like a not very well-made movie would do. Like you're not gonna get that in like a high budget movie. Like they're not gonna pick Nickelback. They would pick something else, or they would sing a song. But no, this movie decided to go the extra mile and give me Nickelback. And just it played like the whole song too. I was like, why is it still going? Stop. The moment has ended. And like they fake you out where you think it's over because like they'll go and characters will have conversations. And you're like, oh, the song has faded out. It's time. And then it picks back up again. And you're like, oh my gosh, the song is back. Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying that that was good filmmaking or a good decision, but it was the perfect decision for me. So thank you. I will give it that.
For number 16, I have a movie that I normally wouldn't watch because, like, I'm not a huge Scooby-Doo fan, but
Okay.
I saw that Max had a movie called Scooby-Doo and Crypto 2.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, if you're bringing Superman into this, then I've got to watch it. And I ended up actually kind of liking it. I probably
Right?
would watch this again. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was dumb, but it was fun.
Yeah, like I think what back when Scoob came out, we were both like, we don't watch Scooby-Doo. We don't get Scooby-Doo. And I'm gonna be honest, I have become a Scooby-Doo fan in the past year. I don't remember what started it, but I watched one and I'm like, hey, that's not bad. And then I was like, I'll watch another one. And then I watched another and another and another. And now I've watched so many Scooby-Doo movies. Like, my goodness. I've watched a bunch of the series. I'm a big Scooby-Doo fan now. But yeah, this movie, it was really good. I have it higher up on my list. But I think that this is very, like, once you watch a bunch of Scooby-Doo movies, you really start picking up the pattern that they follow. But this one, like, was the perfect version of that pattern. I think
Okay.
it's one of my top favorite Scooby-Doo movies, so yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched much Scooby-Doo. Like when I was little, I remember thinking I liked it, but then the more I would watch, the more annoyed I would get that it was just some guy in a mask. Why
Yeah, I get that.
isn't it ever actually a monster? I want a monster. So then I got
No, yeah.
didn't like Scooby-Doo. And
Yeah.
so I just kind of stopped watching, but I probably maybe could get back into it because this actually, I did enjoy this.
Yeah. Like, I think the thing is that there's so many Scooby-Doo movies because they come out with one or two a year. So there's almost always probably a Scooby-Doo movie for somebody out there. Because I have a friend who also likes Scooby-Doo. But, and so I've been like loaning my favorite Scooby-Doo movies, and she'll like some of them that I really like, but then others she'll be like, ew, why do you like that one? I'm like, no. I'm glad you like that. Like, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It's a very contrived plot to get
Oh,
the
yeah.
Scooby-Doo people into Metropolis, but
Yes.
if you don't take it seriously, it was just kind of dumb fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, we can talk more about that one when we get to it on your list. So, what do you have for 16?
So my 16 is Miraculous Ladybug and Cat Noir movie.
Oh, I forgot I was going to watch that and then I didn't.
I'm gonna be honest. Okay, so I remember when the original Miraculous Ladybug came out. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna give it a shot. And I watched a bunch of it and I realized it was not my thing. I am
I was
not.
the same. When the show
Yeah.
came out, I watched a little bit of it. I was like, meh. And then I never went back.
Yeah, and so now this is a reboot, I think.
It was. That's why I was going to watch it. And then I forgot
Yeah.
about it and didn't.
It's fine, but I'm gonna be honest, I don't know how much of a reboot it is. It's kind of just the same plot. I'm sure people who are really into Miraculous Ladybug are like, no, you're totally wrong. Everything's completely different because obviously, I feel like it just is a bit more like concise as opposed to because the story and plot things would be revealed over episodes originally. Like now it's just everything's all in one movie. It had a teaser at the end. I think they're probably gonna make a second one because like it had a big like chun chun chun. So it was fine. The songs were okay. Yeah, the characters are fine. They're all right. It's kind of the same thing. I thought I laughed at some things. It's perfect for the age that it's targeting. And I'm not that age. Plus, if you're into those types of stories, like I was never into those types of stories. I was into superheroes, but like that whole like romance drama, oh, they don't know who the real one is and all that. That when I was younger really irritated me. Because I'm like, just talk. It's not that hard. And plus, they look the same. They just have their little domino masks on. Like, it's the whole like domino mask situation. You're like, just because a guy puts on some cat ears doesn't mean people won't be able to know. And it's funny because I defend Superman.
I was going to say that reminded me of one of my favorite jokes in the Scooby-Doo and Crypto
Oh,
Kid
yes.
movie with Velma and her glasses.
When she takes them off, she's like,
Yes.
oh, where'd your red Velma go?
It was so dumb, but I laughed so much.
Oh, yeah, it's so funny. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, Miraculous Ladybug, Cat Noir, it's part of my way through the list. It's fine. Again, if I knew someone who really wanted to watch it, I'd be fine with watching it every so often. I feel like if I was younger, I probably would have liked it better, like when I really got into Disney original movies when I was younger, and like I watch High School Musical like all the time. So like I'm sure it's not any like it's not worse than High School Musical. I was just the perfect age for High School Musical. And now I'm no longer that age. And while I still watch High School Musical and think it's hilarious and great, I love it for a different reason now. So like, you know, and I don't have that attachment to Miraculous Ladybug and Cat Noir. So it's fine.
Well, I don't feel like I've missed out on much then.
Yeah, but you gotta get on it, Jonathan. They're gonna make a sequel, I think.
I'll see how I feel when there's when a sequel comes out.
Or they're gonna reboot it again. I don't know.
For number 15, I've got Ruby Gillman Teenage Kraken.
Okay.
This one is another one that was fine. I would watch it again if somebody wanted to watch it. It wasn't one of my favorites, but I enjoyed it. I heard a lot of mixed reviews. Some people loved it, some people hated it. I thought it was fine. It had a good voice cast. I didn't love all of the designs of the characters because they had to, like, to make the Krakens believably blend in with humans, they had to make the humans look kind of misshapen. So I didn't love that. But also, it's a cartoon, and they kind of leaned into sort of a rubber hose animation design. Not exactly that, but yeah, it was fine. I enjoyed it for what it was. I'd watch it again if somebody wanted to, but it wasn't ever going to top my top favorites of the year.
I think a problem it had, and a reason why I got a lot of negative reviews is because it followed right after Puss in Boots: Last Wish.
Oh, yeah, that would
And
feel like a downgrade in quality.
yeah, it's like I can understand, like, obviously, it doesn't look like Puss in Boots, and Puss in Boots is like immaculate God tier movie. It should be in the Criterion Edition and all that. I don't know how that works, but it should be there. But like, I feel like just because a movie's not the same style and it's the same studio, like, you shouldn't rag it on it, you know? Like, I kind of went in ready to defend it. Because I was like, come on, people, it doesn't have to be Puss in Boots, you
Yeah.
know?
Well, with Dream, I don't expect every movie to be the same because it's not like Disney, and Disney's sort of, not always, but sort of getting away from having everybody at the studio working on the same movie. With DreamWorks, especially, like you've got a team here doing this thing that looks like this, and you've got another team over here doing this thing that looks like this. So I don't feel like you need to compare every DreamWorks movie to every other
Exactly, yeah.
movie.
And honestly, I don't want every DreamWorks movie to look like Puss in Boots because I feel like as they try to just make every movie turn into that, it's going to start degrading into a lesser version of that because you're going to have to start streamlining it, and then it's just going to be like there's not really any purpose for it to look like that. And then stories are just not going, they're not going to work in that style because your story has to, like, I feel like a style really heavily aids a story. And not every movie needs to look the same. And that's what I love about animation, that everything looks different because that helps tell the story. So, like, that's my 10 cents on DreamWorks. And honestly, DreamWorks for me has always looked very different throughout their productions anyways.
There's so many different styles within DreamWorks.
And I will say, while DreamWorks has more misses for me than like a Disney usually does, I appreciate that they do that. Because sometimes I'll be like, I like that Disney movie, I just wish that the style was a little less the same. Like, Disney's kind of gotten stuck in their style.
Even when they try to escape it, which we'll talk about soon, for me anyway.
So my 15 is The Velveteen Rabbit, and it's not because I think it is a bad made movie slash short. Yeah, I think it was amazingly made and it was very good. It made me very sad, and that's why it's all the way down here, because just everyone did such a phenomenal job of telling me this, and I know it has a happy ending, but it's like the big moment of it is very sad. Like, and I love rabbits, and I have a very emotional attachment to rabbits because I've had rabbits and I've lost rabbits. So it makes me very, very sad. So it is a very good movie, and I would say that it would be higher on my list if I wasn't such a emotional person around rabbits. And so I probably will never watch it again solely because of how sad that movie makes me. But it is very good.
I have it slightly higher on my list, but I agree that it was sad, but I don't think it made me as sad as it made you. So that's why it's higher on my list, I guess.
So what's your next movie?
For 14, I have Wish, speaking of Disney trying a different style, which I don't feel like, as much as they hyped up, oh, we're doing this watercolor style, it's like, this still looks like Disney. And also the style that they tried, I don't think worked that well. Like,
No,
Wish
definitely.
was fine. It was much better than everyone said it was going to be. Because when I went into Wish, I was expecting a train wreck. And it wasn't a train wreck, but it was not anything special. It was just fine. Which is disappointing for Disney, because Disney, when they're good, they're really good. And with Wish, this was supposed to be their huge 100th anniversary movie with all of these references to all of these other movies and explaining the origin of the wishing star that appears all throughout Disney. And I was like, that's a really dumb idea.
I think like mine's slightly higher just because I didn't watch as many, so like I couldn't add mine into your six. But yeah, mine is definitely lower down because of that reason too. Like, I did not care for how everything just happened because it was a Disney reference. I wanted it to be its own story, and what kind of irritated me was I saw that there was a good story under there.
This
But
had
it felt,
potential that they missed out on.
but it felt like corporate finagling where they're like, no, we gotta make it the 100th movie. We gotta make everything a reference. That's why she has seven friends. That's why she wears purple. But like every single little thing, down to less detail, had to be a reference. And I didn't like that because it really just like, there's a thing, you can use Easter eggs well.
Yes, I
Like we were
love
talking
Easter
about,
eggs. When I was a kid and I discovered what an Easter egg was, it was like my favorite thing to watch movies and find Easter eggs. But like with this, it's just like they dumped the Easter basket out in front of you and it's like, here, isn't this cool?
Isn't this what you wanted? You're like, no, the fun thing is to find the Easter eggs.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, because my problem with it was you could tell that like Asha was supposed to be an interesting character, but she wasn't able to like the funny thing is you'll hear like descriptions of her being the flaw, like Disney themselves will call her the flawless Disney princess because they mean that she's flawlessly a Disney princess, but she is a flawless Disney princess because she does nothing wrong. She has no flaws. Like in the movie they say, what flaw do I say? And they're like, you care too much. That's not a flaw, really. And especially if you're not going to use it as a flaw, they use it as a positive in this movie. So like I felt like throughout songs and a few context clue, I think she was supposed to kind of be like unsure and very reluctant to stand up. Because if you listen to like her big ballad song, the Looking Up to the Sky, she said stuff about like, now knowing what I know, I have to move forward, but I don't want to, and I need someone to tell me what to do. Like that gives off reluctant hero energy. But she's not a reluctant hero because she just kind of goes along with the
Yeah, the like I said, this was not a terrible movie, but it wasn't amazing.
movie.
It was just mediocre for Disney. It was not one of their best efforts. It was not bad because everybody, when I went in, like all the reviews I'd read was talking about how awful this was. I have seen actual bad movies. This is not among them, but
No.
it wasn't anything to write home about.
Yeah, which I'm kind of hoping. Let's make a wish too, and then actually make a movie this time. Because I liked the concept of some of the characters. I think Asha could be a very interesting character if she was actually allowed to do something. But she wasn't, which made me sad. And like the world felt like it was way more fleshed out than they kind of were allowed to get into. And it just felt like it felt like a peek into a world. It felt like I was peeking through the window of a dollhouse, but I couldn't get the dollhouse open to actually appreciate it. That's a weird analogy, but that's how it made me feel.
I could see that, yeah.
So on 14, I have a very ridiculous and niche movie for myself, which is Resident Evil Death Island. And okay, so I don't like horror very much, especially not body horror, and that's kind of what Resident Evil does. But it's so, I don't know, it's so campy and so like action. Like, this is like when they lean into action. I don't like it when they lean into horror because it's too scary for me. But like, they'll sometimes lean heavily into action. And I don't know, I guess it being a video game movie, it adds that level of silliness. And it's all just silly. They're not really rendered very well. They're rendered like a video game cutscene, and a lot of times they don't look very real. And I can just put up with it for the movie, I guess. Just Resident Evil, though. I have never watched another body horror thing. I do not like it. But I don't know. Like, it's just campy, zombie fun. And it's so convoluted how the plot line goes. Because they're always introducing a new reason why there's new zombies. And I could not say that there is any good place to jump into Resident Evil, really. But I don't know, it was a thing I got into it when I like tried to go through an edgy phase as a kid. I'd say try because like I never actually did. But and I don't know, I guess it has a slight nostalgia factor to it. The characters always seem to come back and they just like say their quippy one-liners, and you're like, oh my gosh, these characters are so dumb. I don't know, it's just like the roundhouse kick a zombie. I will say though, this movie is not the best one I have seen. They made another one a while back, and one of the characters has this motorcycle thing. He's always on a motorcycle in the movies for some reason, which is weird because he never rides a motorcycle in the games that I know of. But there's one part where one guy's fighting a ton of zombies in a hallway, and then the elevator dings, and he comes riding the motorcycle out of the elevator and just like ramps up a zombie and just smashes. It's like so ridiculous that I just kind of enjoy it. But I would not say they're good movies. They're just bad movies that I love. So I wouldn't recommend them to anyone. It's just fun for me. I get really excited when a new one comes out. Which is funny though. I don't watch the live action ones though because those are too ridiculous. I say they're too ridiculous. They're kind of boring. And since they're live action, the gore and the horror is too much for me. So I'm like, okay, good for everyone else. You guys can go not enjoy them because I've heard they're bad. I'll stick with my silly action flick zombie movie. Like, I don't watch zombie things ever. I think this is literally the only zombie thing I watched in my entire life. So it's pretty crazy and weird, but I have fun with them. So.
Well, my next one at number 13, this is where I have the Velveteen Rabbit.
Okay.
This is another one that it was good. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really sweet. I feel like I don't know if I should have it this high or not, but I think maybe I'd have it this high because I was more disappointed by things like Wish. And this was Velveteen Rabbit was kind of exactly what I thought it was going to be, and they did it well. And it was short enough that I would have no problem watching this again or recommending it to anyone. So it deserves to be higher than something like Wish that disappointed me. But yeah, the Velveteen Rabbit, if you like emotional films, if you don't, then maybe skip this one. But I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. And we did a whole mini podcast on it. So
It's worth watching, I would say. Like, even if you don't like emotional films, but like you can like reboot and go and watch one every like 3 months or so. Like, I would say this one definitely is a good watch. It's very, very well done.
What do you have for 13?
So my 13 is Magician's Elephant.
Oh, that was another one I forgot to watch.
Yeah, I liked it. It was a lot of fun. I think the reason why it's so low, or well, where it sits kind of in the middle, is because I can't really say anything that really stood out to me. It was just a nice movie, it was a perfect package, but there's nothing in it that I would say, oh, that was irritating or I didn't like that thing. I enjoyed it a lot when I was watching it, and I think the animation's really good, the voice cast was good. The music was good, all that stuff. The story was good. It's just, I can't say a specific thing that I really stood out to me. Like, it was just a nice all-round movie. And it was lots of fun. And so it just, didn't stand out to me a lot. Not comparatively to other movies. So.
That sounds about what I've like. I didn't hear that many reviews, but for the most part, I think my general gist of it was going to be mediocre, but not bad.
Yeah,
So.
like I don't know if mediocre. I don't think I'd say mediocre. I think it's just, a very classic, fun movie to watch, and you're not don't expect like a ton when you watch it. But if you need a nice, sweet movie that doesn't make you think too hard, or doesn't ask anything of you, you just sit down and watch a movie and have fun while you're watching a movie, and then you get up and you continue on your way. This is a good movie for that.
For number 12, this is where I've got Leo.
Okay.
This one surprised me with how much I liked it, because I was not expecting to like it that much. Like, I figured it'd be fine, but it actually made me laugh a lot, especially this is probably like the dumbest joke, but also the I don't know, the little kids in this movie, that just like they were basically screaming heads with tiny bodies.
Oh yeah.
I about
The
died la
kindergarten. Yeah,
every
those were
time the
fun.
kindergartners ran by screaming.
Yeah, they were fun. They were probably one of the jokes where I did say, okay, like I could find myself laughing very hard on those if I was enjoying the movie more. But yeah, no, that was a fun joke.
That was probably my favorite thing in the whole movie. Like, I liked the movie overall, but every time the kindergartners ran by, it just, I
Yeah.
cracked up. But I enjoyed the voice cast too. Even Adam Sandler, I liked his weird old man voice. And I didn't know that Bill Burr was in the movie. He played the turtle. I liked him as well. It wasn't like an amazing film, but it was better than I thought it was going to be. And also, one of the characters, was it the horse? He was voiced by, I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce this correctly, Robert Smigel, who is the voice of Triumph the Insult comic dog from Conan O'Brien.
Oh, okay.
I watched a lot of Conan O'Brien when I was a teenager. And like, I never loved Triumph the Insult comic dog, but he has such an iconic voice that as soon as I heard it coming out of this cartoon, I was like, that's Triumph. But yeah, the movie, I actually really enjoyed it. And yeah, it wasn't amazing, but I thought it was
Yeah.
funny. Surprisingly, even things like more adult humor that kind of made me roll my eyes, I was able to forgive it because I was laughing so much at other stuff. So yeah, this movie is not for everybody. I don't know that I would recommend it for like little kids. Like there was stuff in it that probably would have disturbed me as a child, like him losing his tail. Like I would have been so disturbed by that as a child.
Yeah,
Does
definitely.
happen to lizards. Also, though, it grew back way too fast. Lizards' tails, and they don't grow back absolutely perfect either, usually. It's usually they're kind of wonky looking after they grow back, but it's a cartoon. I don't need to be picking over the scientific accuracy of how the lizard's tail grew back. Yeah, there was stuff in that was in any other movie would have just kind of been meh, but I don't know, something about the movie just I ended up really liking it.
Yeah, no, and like I can tell that it's an enjoyable movie to some people. I don't know, it really got on my nerves for some reason.
I could see that. Adam Sandler is not for everybody. He's not usually for me either. I don't usually love Adam Sandler, but I
Yeah.
think when he's doing a voice in a cartoon, I have more forgiving of Adam Sandler than just watching him be stupid on screen.
Yeah. No, I do prefer him as a cartoon character, I will admit it. But I prefer him as a vampire over.
That's true. For as much as I like going into the Hotel Transylvania movies, I thought they were going to be dumb, and I ended up really liking them. And like you said, number three is the best. I loved that movie. So yeah, I do prefer him as a vampire than a lizard, but I enjoyed this too. So what do you have for 12?
So my 12 is Ruby Gillman, Teenage Kraken.
Okay.
I think that again, it's a pretty okay movie. I think it's cute. I think the voice cast does well. I personally like the animation, the art style. I thought it was fun. I will say I think that sometimes it moved a little fast. It could have maybe had a few moments in it, a little less montage. But overall, I thought it was pretty enjoyable. It was funny because when I went to go see it in theaters, I used to work right next to a theater. So I could just get out of work and go to the movies.
That would be handy.
Yeah, it was really nice. That's why I've seen Puss in Boots in the theater so many times. So one day I was like, oh my gosh, it's leaving theaters because they were taking out my theater fast because something else was coming out and no one was really going to go see it. So I was like, I have to watch it today or I'm not going to be able to watch it in theaters. And I kind of wanted to. So I have to walk like a little ways to get to the theater. I get out of work and it's pouring. And I didn't even know it was supposed to rain. So I'm running down, getting soaked. I get into the theater and I'm drenched. I'm like, well, time to watch the movie. And I'm like stuck to my chair because of how wet I am. And I'm like, oh gosh. And they had their air conditioner blowing. And I'm like, I'm so cold. But like, I think. Despite that, I still enjoyed it. Like, I think it's a fun movie that, I don't like to say it's a harmless kids movie because I feel like that has certain meanings behind it people take away from that I don't care for, but I think that it kind of fits into that, it's an enjoyable movie. I don't think it deserved the criticism it got because most of it wasn't really valid, in my opinion. I think it was a fun little time and the characters were all fun and stuff. And do I think that it needs a sequel? Not really. I don't think I need any more of it, but like it kind of gave me the idea that I want to see more from the people who made it. Like I want to see what other stories they can tell. And then this would be kind of like the movie you go back and watch to see where they came from or stuff like that. So I had fun with it, but yeah, I cannot claim that it was like the greatest movie of all time because it just was kind of a fun time. So yeah.
For number 11, this one I'm kind of sad that it got knocked out of my top 10, but oh well. This is where I've got the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Okay.
I thought this was fun. It was so much better than I would feared it was going to be. It wasn't like
Yeah.
an amazing movie or anything, but it was fun, and that's what Super Mario needed to be.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Nintendo doesn't have a very good track record for adaptations of their video games, so they needed a win, and this was a win. I thought it was just a fun, cute, just fun. It was a fun adaptation of the Super Mario games, and I thought they did a really good job. I don't think that the whole voice acting controversy, if you could call it a controversy, I don't know that it was much warranted. I think because like with Chris Pratt, like I like Chris Pratt, but he only has his Chris Pratt voice. But at the same time, even though everybody knows that Mario sounds like the stereotypical Italian voice, with this movie, after a certain point, I forgot that I was listening to Chris Pratt and it was just the character.
Yeah.
So I thought it was fine. Like
Yeah.
all of the voices that were celebrity casted, aside from Donkey Kong, I don't think I even noticed. Like, of course, Chris Pratt, because everybody was talking about Chris Pratt. Of course, you're going to notice that. But at a certain point, I forgot. I think with Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong, that was the only one that was like Seth Rogen all the way
No, Seth Rogen has already, like, he has stated, I don't do voices, I just do
through.
lines. So, like, if you get a Seth Rogen character, it's gonna sound like Seth Rogen.
Yes. Yeah, it was a fun movie. If you liked the Super Mario Brothers video games, I definitely recommend this movie. Even if you've never played a game, it was still a fun movie.
Yeah, for sure. It's a lot of fun. So my number 11 is Wish, because of one specific reason, which I don't think warrants it, but that's fine. It's my list. So I watched Wish, like, one of the last movies, because I knew I had to watch it because it was Disney and all that. But I didn't really want to. The trailers never sold me really on it. The only thing that I was kind of excited for was, I thought, Chris Pine is a Disney villain. Why have we never done this before? This sounds like a great idea. I like Chris Pine. I think he's funny. I like him. And I thought this would be great, you know, him as a Disney villain. And I think he is a great Disney villain in this movie. I liked him well enough. I think he was kind of a little bit too set aside in the movie, weirdly enough, even though he's in it. It was strange. It felt like he just wasn't in it, but he also was. He needed to be in it more or something. I don't know. But I liked how much energy Chris Pine brought to it. He did a great job. I think a thing I had with the animation of this that I had heard other animators say is that they over animate a few things, and I kind of agree. So, like, a lot of times when you animate, you will have them hold a pose for a split second, and they can still move within that pose, but you want to hold the basic idea of that pose. So, like, if a character is shrugging, you want to hold them holding their hands up and their shoulders up, and maybe making a little bit of a face, and then they can, like, shake their head, like, I don't know. Or they can say something, but you may generally want to keep their hands in that shrug. But I think a lot of times in this movie, things would be over animated a little too much. So they would be shrugging, but then their hands would be wobbling, and then their shoulder, and like you're like, whoa, calm down. Calm down. You don't need to keep moving. It was just a little too much. So you didn't quite get that clarity of a pose as much as you do in other movies. I think that Encanto does this very well, where they hold their poses very nicely. And it kind of had an Encanto feel to me. I don't know how to describe it, but it kind of felt like it took a lot of inspirations from Encanto.
I'm sure it had some of the same people probably working on it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's sometimes I would just get like a hint of Encanto vibes from it. But I think that, I don't know if it was Chris Pine's performance or something, but I think that the king was the best animated because he would hold poses, and I appreciated that. I was like, thank you for holding your pose so I get the clarity of what emotion you're going through. But I will say it was disappointing. I didn't care for all the Easter eggs being shoved in my face. The story wasn't there. The reason why I put it up here is because of a little story about Valentino. So he's the goat. And when I saw the trailers, I hated him. I hated him so much. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's the most annoying thing in the world. Because, like, all of his jokes are in the trailers and they're so dumb. And I'm like, oh my gosh, why is this goat in it so much? I don't like him. He's not funny. But weirdly, that started becoming a joke to myself, how much I hated him. Like, I would be like, well, at least it's not Valentino the goat. And, like, I would compare the characters to Valentino and be like, at least they're not as bad as him. But then when I actually watched the movie, he's not in it very much, I will admit. And he does nothing. And I enjoyed him because he wasn't as stupid as I thought he was going to be, because he had other things and he had some good jokes. And I think Alan Tudyk did a really good voice, even though I'm not usually a fan of, oh, look at the cute little thing. Oh, they have a deep voice now. Ha ha ha, that's the joke. I don't know. I guess just like I needed to latch onto something in this movie. And Valentino was my choice, I guess. And then it became a joke of, oh, okay, he's mediocre. I went from hating him to he's mediocre to now he's my favorite character. And now he's a, it's a joke to me how much I, and like, I go to like, and it's funny because like if you go to Walmart, at least my Walmart, they are not selling their Wish merchandise. But they're especially not selling their Valentinos for some reason. So we have just shelves of Valentinos. And I'm like, oh, and I'll go and buy it. I'll hit every single one and they talk. And I'll be like, boop. I don't know. I like Valentino. He's funny to me. He I think he should get a spin-off or something.
Give it enough time, he'll get a Disney Plus miniseries.
Right, like Doug now has from Up or whatever.
I mean, if you're gonna do it, that's the way to do it with shorts.
But yeah, definitely like I don't know, like something about him charmed me. I think another thing I liked is that he was not a reference as far as I noticed,
I don't
except
think
that
so.
he's just an animal sidekick.
Well, and also he's Alan Tudyk, who is now the person they have to have in every movie, which I don't mind. I'm not saying that as a negative. I like Alan Tudyk.
No, we love Alan Tudyk. But yeah, like I don't know, it just like I was like he was a breath of fresh air that he wasn't something.
That is true, yes.
Yeah, so I was like, is he the best Disney side character? No. Not at all. Like I was comparing him to Socks from Lightyear because I love Socks. I think he's great. And I was like, he's not as good as Socks at all because Socks has a purpose to be in the story. Socks has better jokes. Socks has a better voice. No offense to Alan Tudyk, because it's not a joke that, oh, it's a deep little baby. But I don't know. I liked Valentino a lot. I can't really justify it. I don't understand. And but I do think that Wish is not a very good movie. And I'm hopeful that they will make a sequel where they let the people who wanted to tell a story tell their story. Because I think that I saw potential in a lot of the characters. Not the seven friends. That's too many friends.
I can't even tell you any of their names right off the top of my
No.
head. They were just there.
Yeah, like they were just there. I think that all the voice cast did fine. I think that individually, if they got anything more to them, they would have been better, but there's just so many. They're not the focus of the story. They don't have a purpose in the story, really.
Other than to be references.
Yeah, and that's like a big thing I didn't like about this movie. I didn't like Asha's grandfather.
I forgot about him.
Yeah, he annoyed, yeah, that's the thing. He annoyed me though, because it was like he had nothing to him except he's an old guy, so you should love him. And I'm like, give me a personality trait of some sort, please. He should
That should be a
be
knock against it, because normally when there's an old character in a movie, I love them, and the fact that I've completely forgotten about him,
Yeah.
I
It's
forgot he
like,
existed, so that should be a knock against the movie.
yeah, like he, because he's barely in it, but weirdly, he's the whole reason the movie gets kicked off. But like, he's, it's everything's so unimportant in the movie. And I will say that is so funny to me that She decides she's going to try to steal the wishes, and the king just instantly, before he even knows she steals the wishes, decides, I am going to read the book that I promised I never would read ever. Even though that, like, he says it within the same line of, like, they mention it once before or twice before, like, that's a bad book. We shouldn't use the bad book. And then just instantly, anything goes wrong. He's like, nope, you know what? I didn't want to do this, but now it's time to use the bad book. You're like, you just wanted to use the bad book, man. Don't pin it on anything. You were just hoping to use the bad book. I think another thing is this was also they were talking about is the return to Disney, classic Disney villains where they're evil and they don't get a redemption arc or whatever. And I think that's fine, but I like villains like that and I'd be okay with that. But a problem I had with this one is they kind of hinted at a backstory, but they don't really go into it. So you don't really know why he's like he is. And then like they're like they had to draw attention that he could never be good again by going to read the book and saying, nope, once you use the bad magic, you can never be good again. I'm like, okay.
There was a lot of stuff in it that was just very on the nose, which kind of reminds me of something that I forgot to talk about, which I this could be good for some people. But I don't know whether it's a negative or a positive for me. Every time there's a song, the whole movie stops and turns into a music video.
Yeah, that's another thing. I'm never a fan of that in movies. I need the song to fit with the movie, and I need the song to, unless it's like a montage, you know, then if you have a random song over the montage, it can be weird, but
I
whatever.
don't think any of these were montages, though. I think it was just,
Yeah, no,
it
none
just
of.
felt like a music video.
Yeah, it's just like they just stop. And like a lot of times, the lyrics didn't make sense. Like the one song the little woodland creatures
I was
read
just thinking of
or sing, yeah,
that
where they're just like, how did I summon a star from the sky? And they're like, how did you do it? Well, you're a star, dummy. Do you need any other risk reason? No. Oh, okay. And then they're like, oh, so you mean because we all live in the same universe, that's how it works? Like there's a line from Valentino in that where he goes, so your stardust is my stardust? Fantastic. And you're like, don't say that like that makes sense, Valentino. That makes no sense. No, Valentino, I don't know what's up with him. Like, I guess he just said the most ridiculous lines. Like, he was like, aha, I got it. And you're like, shut up. You don't got it. You're just trying to move the plot forward. Oh my gosh. Yeah, some things just frustrated me. Some of the songs, like the song that Asha sings with all her friends about how now they can no longer live the way they did with knowing what they know now. I'm like it sounds like she's rallying them and like telling them that the king is bad and like convincing them of that. It's like they were literally just running away because they were going to be arrested. They know he's an evil king. At this point, why are you convincing them? They're literally hiding. Like 2 seconds earlier, they were being accused of treason for doing nothing. I think they know that he's evil. It just felt strange.
I will say I did like that song though.
No,
I liked
I
a lot of
think,
the music. It just was out
yeah.
of place.
Is out of place. The lines felt like they came from different versions of the story. That kind of fitted in this. Like, yeah, she could be rallying the troops, but it felt weird within this movie because they already were helping her. So it was strange. But yeah, I think the music's fine. They're all catchy. I get the songs stuck in my head. I like to play them and get them in my siblings' head, and they get very mad at me. They're like, why? I was having a good day until you played that song, and now it's gonna be playing in my head all day. But yeah, no, it's a disappointing movie because you can really feel that writer, not the writer's room. I don't want to blame the writers. You can feel the
Yes,
corporateness
exactly.
behind it. That's what it is.
This movie screams executive meddling.
Yes, and like the thing is, if you go to watch it on Disney Plus, instantly it says, go to our shop page. I hate how like marketed, like it doesn't feel like a movie. It feels like a product. And I know that's like all movies are products and stuff like that, technically, but it feels like it's a product first, you know, like gotta buy your movie, gotta buy the merch, go buy all your talking Valentinos. You're like, I am tempted, but no. It'd be funny for like half a second, but I think if I had it in my room and it's like, ha, I'm Valentino, ha ha, I'm like, shut up, Valentino, I'm gonna rip your batteries out or something. But yeah, it's sad because this is the Disney movie of, you know, the year, and it felt like they were trying to take a step into a different direction, but they just weren't allowed to because it was all an homage. And like putting that up against the Once Upon, what was it called? Like Once Upon a
Once upon a
Studio?
studio,
Yeah. Like that, I w remember saying I was afraid that it was all going to be Disney patting on themselves on the back, you know? But it didn't end up being that. It felt like an homage to the characters and to the crew and like the
to the artists.
and the artists. But this felt like an homage to the company made by the company.
Definitely.
And not even people who work in the company making an homage to it. It was the higher ups making an homage to themselves, trying to trick people into nostalgia bait. And I didn't like
Yeah.
that.
It feels weird that we're talking so negatively about a movie that ranked so much higher than a whole bunch of other things in our
Yeah,
list. But
exactly.
it's such a mixed bag.
Yeah. It's like I really liked some things and I really liked the ideas that I could see under the surface. And I appreciate all the people putting all their hard work into it because I think that if allowed to, this could have been a really amazing movie. But unfortunately, you know, all the executive meddling just bogged it down and it turned into a mess.
Well, I think we're going to pause here and split this into two, and in the next episode, we'll talk about our top 10 movies from 2023. So, until the next episode, do you want to tell people where they can find you if they want more from you?
Yeah, you can find me at Katie Draws Things on Instagram. I upload art there and sometimes do commissions. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun over there. So, come chat it up or just look at some silly doodles I draw.
Okay, well, we will see you next time for our top 10 ranking.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to our 2023 animation ranking. We know that our lists are extremely subjective, so if you have a totally different ranking than we do, feel free to make your own list in the comments. Also, if there are any animated films we missed, let us know. I'd love to catch up on anything amazing I might have overlooked. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe and follow Katie as well. My link tree and her links will be in the description below. If you want more content, all my podcasts are available on YouTube as well as most podcast platforms. If you enjoyed this show, check out one of our other podcasts or check out my Patreon for bonus and extended episodes you won't find anywhere else, including a massive, extended, full-length version of this podcast, including tangents and a full extra segment of us talking about our favorite non-animated films from last year. We'll be back soon with another brand new episode, so thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.